Praise God. John chapter 1. Tonight we look at verses 40 through 42. And I had a look and we only have two more messages in chapter 1 after tonight. Then we get to go to chapter 2. So John chapter 1, as I shared, we're going to talk about Peter tonight. So verse 40, one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, "We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas," which is by interpretation a stone. So Cephas is who we're going to talk about tonight. Let's pray. Lord, give us your wisdom and your presence as we open your word together. Lord, may it truly speak to us as we look at Peter's life. And may we leave blessed by your word. So we open our hearts now to hear from you and love you in Jesus' name. Amen. So Jesus obviously knew right from the beginning, because Jesus knew the hearts and he knew the future, that Peter would be a faithful rock, even though he would go through some ups and downs like we all do. And we already know what Cephas stands for. It means a stone. But Peter, the name Peter, already means stone in the Greek. But now what Jesus was saying was in the Aramaic, using a different language. He says, "I'm going to call you Cephas," which Aramaic was a Gentile language. And so what I believe Jesus was saying was, not only are you a rock, and I'm going to call you a rock by two different languages, but Peter would be the one that would actually open the door to the Gentiles. It wasn't Paul, it was Peter that won Cornelius and his family to the Lord, which were the first Gentile converts. But the Gospel of John is the only one that words it this way, interestingly enough. So we'll look at a couple more. We'll go to Mark chapter 3, and we just have about 50 scriptures to look through, so keep up. Mark chapter 3, verse 16, sorry. Mark chapter 3, verse 16. "And Simon, he surnamed Peter." So here we see him being surnamed Peter, in the English, of course. And then Luke chapter 6, verse 14. Luke chapter 6, verse 14. So his primary name, of course, was Simon. And we all refer to him as Simon Peter. So Luke 6, verse 14 says, "Simon, whom he also named Peter." So isn't it interesting how it's worded differently in the different Gospels? But if you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, what we'll see is that the names were interchangeable. The Apostle Paul often referred to Peter as Peter. But twice, he didn't refer to him as Peter, he referred to him as Cephas. Notice 1 Corinthians 1:12. "Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ." So isn't that interesting? And then over in 1 Corinthians 15, so still in 1 Corinthians, we go to chapter 15, verse 5. It says, and that he was seen of Cephas and then of the 12. This is talking about the resurrection of Jesus. So the Apostle Paul even referred to Peter twice in his Gospels as Cephas. All other times he referred to him as Peter. Either way, the word means stone. So I thought it would be a good time just to stop and just do a quick look at Peter's life. Because Peter's one of those Bible characters that we get to read a lot about. But also he had a very flowery personality, didn't he? Like most of us do. And so I'd like us to maybe put it in groups of the different ways that we look at Peter. So I want to start off with the impulsive Peter. And look at some of that. And then go from there to the dogmatic Peter and then the broken Peter. So let's start with the impulsive Peter. Go to Luke chapter 5. And Peter, of course, some of that impulsiveness was actually courage, wasn't it? But if you look at Luke chapter 5, and I'm going to do these chronologically, how they happened in his life. So we'll bounce around between the Gospels a little bit. But in Luke chapter 5, down in verse 3, he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. When he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out of the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we've toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Did you catch that little tiny thing there? Jesus said nets, plural. Peter said net, singular. And of course, that's why the net began to rip, as we know. But notice verse 8, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. So here he was doubtful about what Christ said about the fish, but then he did repent afterwards. We've got to give him a lot of credit for that. next comes Matthew 14. So again, we're going to do these chronologically. And this is impulsive, but we also got to give him credit for some courage. This is where he walked on the water. Anybody here ever done that? Nope. Matter of fact, only two people have ever done that. So that says a lot about Peter, doesn't it? Matthew 14:28 says, and Peter answering him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. That's pretty amazing. Peter walked on water. Now, Matthew 17. Again, we're doing these chronologically. It's referred to as the Mount of Transfiguration, because this is where Jesus was transfigured before the inner three. So who were the inner three? Peter, James, and John. So when Jesus took them up on the mountain, he only took those three with him. And here in Matthew 17, verse 4, after they saw Moses and Elijah, Peter answered and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee and one for Moses and one for Elias. Of course, he was being a bit impulsive there. Why would you make a tabernacle for men? And so God spoke out of heaven and said, this is my beloved son. Then we see Peter in John 13, talking about the impulsive Peter, where Jesus washed the disciples' feet. Notice John 13, verse 8. Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Does that sound like Peter? Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. So he quickly went from, you're never going to wash my feet, to, well, if I got to have my feet washed to be part of the crew, then yeah, go for it. And then John 18, we know what happened in the garden when they came to take Jesus. It says, verse 10, then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. I don't think he was aiming for his ear. Peter just obviously wasn't that good with the sword. Sure, he was trying to cut his head off. But only Peter took up a weapon in the Garden of Gethsemane and slung the sword and took off an ear, which Jesus, of course, healed. So Peter was an impulsive person, courageous as well, but he was also a dogmatic person. And that's John chapter 6. So let's look at that tonight. And this is where Christ had given the discourse on the bread of life. Most of the other disciples, other than the 12, had left over what Christ had to say. And rather than beg them to stay, Jesus offered to let them leave. Which is interesting, isn't it? In verse 68, or verse 66, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. It was Peter that spoke up when everybody else was walking away and said, where else are we going to go? You're the one that has the words of life. We believe you are the Messiah, and we believe you are the Son of God. So that is the dogmatic Peter. Then what about the broken Peter? Matthew 26. Even the world knows about Peter denying Christ, don't they? I don't know about you, but I wouldn't want this in a book that's going to last forever. But it is for Peter. Matthew 26, verse 31. More of his dogmaticness coming through. Then said Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said to him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, Lord, though I should die with thee, yet I will not deny thee. So there we see him being dogmatic, but then if you go to verse 69, Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee, but he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. When he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. After a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou art also one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew, and Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. We go to Mark 16 at the resurrection of Jesus. Aren't you glad God doesn't give up on us? Well, God didn't give up on Peter. Jesus named him a stone, and Jesus knew. But after the resurrection, verse 6, he saith unto them, be not affrighted. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which is crucified. He is risen. He's not here. Behold the place where they laid him. This is the angel speaking. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him as he said unto you. The angel singled out Peter. Go tell the disciples and Peter, the one that denied the Lord, go tell them that Jesus is risen from the dead. Of course, Peter was again, he's the one that ran ahead, was the first one in. That's Peter. But after he rose from the dead and they were reunited, if you go to John 21, we see Jesus forgiving Peter and calling Peter to serve him. So Christ didn't write him off. He told him what was going to happen. It happened, but he forgave him. And here in John 21, verse 3, Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. Sounds like Peter, doesn't it? They say unto him, we also go with thee. Now this is fishing for fish. They went forth and entered a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. Verse 7, therefore the disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. Ah, Peter. Verse 15, so when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. Jesus, when he had this conversation at the seashore, he didn't talk to any of the other 12. He just spoke to Peter. Isn't that interesting? And said, feed my lambs. And of course, Peter, when he wrote his first epistle, wrote probably the best summary passage on being a shepherd, about the importance of the shepherd feeding the flock. So Peter obviously was listening when Peter said, feed my lambs. And so then in Acts chapter 2, who do we find but a transformed Peter, a victorious Peter? Notice Acts chapter 2, verse 14. Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. Verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. That was under the preaching of Peter. 3,000 souls. Chapter 3, verse 12. When Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? Chapter 4, verse 8. Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel. Peter was not afraid to preach, not afraid to stand. Over in chapter 5, verse 29, the Bible says, Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. Different person after the resurrection, after being filled with the Holy Ghost. And Acts chapter 9, verse 34, the Bible says that Peter said unto him, Annas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole, arise and make thy bed. And he arose immediately. So God even used Peter to heal. And then Acts chapter 9, verse 40, Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed, turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. God even allowed Peter to raise the dead. The same Peter that was impulsive and that denied the Lord saw thousands saved under his ministry, healed the sick, raised the dead. And then in chapter 10, of course, we find out why Jesus used the name Cephas. Verse 24, on the morrow after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and he called together his kinsmen and near friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. And Peter preached, and Cornelius and all of his family and friends got saved. So praise God for Peter. Peter's a good lesson on God doesn't give up on us. Amen? You know, everybody has a lesson to teach. Job, of course, how to respond to suffering. Paul, the need to be just committed to the Lord no matter what persecution comes our way. But Peter is an example of someone who had his personality quirks. He was impulsive. He was sometimes would speak before he thought, put his foot in his mouth, as they say in modern day. And yet, God didn't give up on him. And look how God used him through the first half of the book of Acts. So way back when he first was called, through his brother finding him, Jesus said, before anything, I'm gonna call you a stone. And in Matthew 16, he said, thou art Peter, little stone. And on this rock, if you look at the Greek, that word rock means giant boulder, I will build my church. So the Catholics took that verse and said, oh, Peter was the first pope. But no, Jesus said, you are Peter, you're a little stone, and on this rock, big giant rock, myself, I will build this church. Jesus is the cornerstone of the church, not Peter. But God used Peter to start it, didn't he? 3,000 people on the day of Pentecost got saved through the preaching of Peter, Cephas. Praise the Lord. pray.